Gospel, the ninth chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 9. We continue our study of this marvelous gospel with these words, beginning at verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, Where is he? And he said, I do not know. They brought him, who was formerly blind, to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, What do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, He is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, Give God the glory, we know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet He has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also? Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, we turn to this marvelous text in John's Gospel, and it opens up for us the truth that Jesus is the light of the world. It is a text which unfolds the very truth that Christ is sent into this world to be its light, and it fulfills all that John says at the very end of his gospel when he says, "The reason I wrote it," well, not exactly in those words, but he says in chapter 20 and verse 31, "These things are written," that's the reason he wrote it, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Everything that John puts into his gospel is to demonstrate that Jesus is the Christ. And as we come to this ninth chapter, we see that he is the one who is able not only to make the physically blind able to see, but we see that he is the light of the world, able to make those who are lost in the darkness of sin able to see and to come to know him and trust him by faith. We also see in this passage that Jesus is, as always, in conflict with the religious leaders of Judaism. And we note once again that the setting for chapter 9 is at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, where the Jewish nation had gathered for a great celebration. We saw the previous chapter speak of the flaming torches, and Jesus had already announced that he is the light of the world. And the meaning was pointed and clear. He was the light of the world, but his enemies were in spiritual darkness. He had told them that they were from below and that they were serving the devil. In fact, in the 8th chapter, verse 58, he identifies himself over against his detractors as the one who is the eternal I am. Against this background of the Feast of Tabernacles and now these charred torches and lights that had gone out, Jesus leaves the temple conscious of the fact that what is portrayed is happening when the light that goes into the world is not followed. And he immediately meets a man who never knew light, never knew sight, a man blind from birth. Our passage opens with these words: "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth." And miraculously, Jesus gives this man what he never had, the ability to see. I want you to look with me at two things, really, in this passage. We'll concentrate more on the first than the second. The one, we're going to look at the blind man. And then the second, we'll look at the great miracle that takes place of his being able to see by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus saw a man who was blind from birth. That's clear. But look at it from the man's viewpoint. He was blind from birth. He could not see Jesus passing by. He was blind. He knew nothing of the hues of color that we see in nature. He could not observe and see the beauty of the spring grass. I guess we would like to see a little bit of that ourselves at this time of the year. The glorious sunsets that we have seen, the blowing of the grass in the wind, the softness of a mother's face as she looks at her infant child, the joy of holding your child and seeing the smallness and the perfection of each of their features and knowing that they'll grow from that infancy into adulthood. And yet in that infancy, every part, every piece, every finger, every fingernail, every little part is just absolutely wonderful. The blind man saw none of this. He only knew darkness. But Jesus saw him. Jesus knew him. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. and Jesus sees this man and has compassion upon him. This passage is one of the passages that underscores and emphasizes again and again for us the compassion of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees this man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Master, who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither, for it is for the glory of God that he was born blind." In other words, that he might receive his sight by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God would receive the glory as a result of it. There was no cry from this man's lips that drew the attention of Jesus. We do not see him calling out, as we hear from the blind man named Bartimaeus in another passage, who called out, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." This man simply is the object of Jesus' infinite love and compassion. Unconscious of his own need, the Lord Jesus Christ comes and heals him. And he is an illustration of the spiritual blindness of the world and of those people that we meet throughout this chapter, particularly the Jewish leaders as well. His own blindness spiritually is in view, but the blindness of the leadership, and particularly the Pharisees. Remember back in chapter 8, that great dialogue between Jesus and the Pharisees, and they made accusations about him, and they confronted him, and he stood before them and said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they revolted against that, because in saying that, they recognized that Jesus was claiming deity. John 8:58 is one of the great texts that speak of the divinity and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of it for a moment. "Before Abraham was, I am." That's Jesus saying that I was there when Abraham was born, when Abraham was created, when Abraham came into this world. He is claiming to be God. That's one of the texts you ought to have a check mark next to in your Bible, and a circle by it, or some kind of a mark when you hear someone coming to your door and claiming that Jesus is not God or that he is a God. You should know this passage or be able to turn to John 8:58 and be able to say to them, "Here is what the Word of God says. Jesus said, 'Before Abraham was, I am.'" He is the eternal Son of God. The Pharisees didn't believe it. They refused to believe it. They were spiritually blind. And as Jesus would go on in that 8th chapter to say, they are blind because they were children not of the Heavenly Father, but children from below. That is, children of the devil. Unbelief. And they were lost in the darkness of that unbelief. Notice that at the end of the text that we have read back in the 9th chapter, Jesus reveals the very reason for his coming into this world in verse 39. It's an interesting text. It sums up all of the reason for what is going on with the healing of the man born blind. It sums up all of his discussion with the Pharisees and the unbelief of those Jewish leaders. And he says this in verse 39, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind." The ones who see, of course, would be the description of the Pharisees. They would be made blind. He's speaking of spiritual blindness. And those who could not see, the blind man and those who followed him and those who believed in him, will see. That's why Jesus came into this world. "For judgment I am come into the world," he says, verse 39, as he reveals his purpose for coming, "that the blind would see, and that those who see would become blind." Now the disciples reacted to this theological puzzle, and perhaps we may as well. They reacted to the puzzle and began to ask about the man born blind, uncertain of why. Looking at the problem of the suffering that comes into this world. Was it his fault? Was it his parents' fault? Why is it that this man was born blind? We may have lots of questions like that. We may have other questions as well. Why is it that some families have suffering that enters their lives? Why is it that some have difficulties that they must endure? Why is it that there is sickness that this person must go through and there is no relief? Why? We don't know, but for this particular case, the disciples are given the answer that it is to do the work of God, that the glory of God may be demonstrated. Some people might have reacted with pity. The leadership of the Jewish nation reacted in pride, thinking they were better than others. But Jesus says it is not because of sin, it is for the glory of God. Was it not the glory of God that was in view at the very death of Lazarus? Why is it that Jesus did not go quickly and come to the grave and even prevent him from dying? It is that he might be raised from the dead and that the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ might be demonstrated. This man born blind was born blind so that the glory of God might be evidenced in the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who evidences the glory of God in healing and saving lost sinners. And it's a physical description that translates into the spiritual reality of the healing that comes when God saves sinners. He brings them out of the darkness of sin into the light of the gospel. God is glorified in the salvation of sinners. And in fact, as we turn to the book of Revelation, we find there in the fifth and in the seventh chapter a description of the glory of that assembly of those who will be standing at the throne of God, giving glory to God for the salvation that God brings by his sovereign love and grace into the hearts of blind sinners and makes them see. They come to Christ and they are redeemed by his blood and they are brought into the family of God and ultimately into the presence of the Lord God for all eternity. God is glorified in the salvation of sinners, and God is glorified in this man who once was blind but now is able to see. And Jesus is also proving the blindness of those who claimed to be able to see. Look again at our text in the last verse of chapter 9. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." What Jesus is saying in that verse is simply this: you are utterly, completely, spiritually blind. Once again, the Pharisees thought they had it all together. They thought they were the ones that were keeping the law of God in all of its perfections. They had adopted the external appearance of having dealt with sin, though actually they never looked at or faced the darkness of the sinfulness of their own hearts. It's illustrated very clearly in the parable of the two men who went into the temple in the gospel according to Luke. Do you remember it well? The one was a Pharisee, the other is a tax collector, or Pharisee, the other is a publican. And the Pharisee is the one who stands in the place that everybody could see him, and in a loud voice, no doubt, prays, "God, I thank you that I am not like all other men, robbers, evil men, adulterers, or even like this tax collector standing over here in the corner. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get." That's recorded in the scripture. What a prayer. What pride. What spiritual blindness. It was the publican who stood there, and as the text says, he beat his breast and he turned to God in prayer, and his prayer is recorded. "God, be propitious," is exactly the word, "be merciful to me." The hymn writer, I think, has it right in that wonderful hymn that includes the line, "The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. We have to lean on Jesus. In the parable, in the gospel, it was the publican who leaned upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees were not leaning on him. They were seeking to put him to death. But it is those who lean upon Jesus who find their spiritual darkness is gone, and they have come into the light of the gospel. And it is the very compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ that carries out this great work of making the blind to see. It's not because you and I go to a church that teaches orthodox theology. We praise God for the orthodoxy of the theology of the Presbyterian Church in America and other denominations like it. But we should not be proud of our orthodoxy. It is not because we attend a church even that preaches the gospel. It is because we lean on Jesus that we have sight and the ability to believe and trust, because in his compassion he has made our blindness disappear. He has given light to our hearts and salvation through his gracious power. The blind man illustrates that truth wonderfully. But I want you also to look for a moment with me at the miracle that takes place. There has been a great deal of ink spilled on commentaries and writings and all kinds of things, and I'm sure sermons as well. And we're not even going to touch on all of this business of Jesus making some mud and putting it on his eyes. But the real miracle is not the mud and the eyes. The real miracle is the ability to be given sight. And that's exactly what Jesus does to demonstrate that he is the Son of God. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 31. We should know that verse. These things are written that you may know that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed of God, the Savior of sinners. He alone is Lord and King. And believing in him, you have life. The Son of God. The Son of God came and demonstrated that he is God. He has the power of God. And by the power of God, he opens the eyes of this man who was born blind. And there is some discussion in this passage, but I would ask the question of us tonight. You know, we struggle with a lot of things physically. We've heard even this evening of prayer requests of some that are going to be undergoing some serious operations. But let me ask you this. Who have you ever heard that is able to make the blind see? I think our scientists and our doctors are still struggling with that one. Well, we may be able to repair, and we pray that it will, an aortic aneurysm. I'm thankful that happened to me. But nobody is able to give a new heart. Nobody is able to give eyes where there were no eyes before. Who can create life? God, and God alone. And the God who came in the flesh, as John opens his gospel. God, who is the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He became flesh. He is God in the flesh. We've just celebrated that at Christmas. It's the incarnation of the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. And this one who is God in the flesh gives sight to the man who is born blind. This passage is simply telling us that all of that promise of the coming of the Messiah is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. As you go through and travel through the book of Isaiah in particular, you will find that there are many passages where in Isaiah says, he will be a light to the Gentiles. He will bring the light of the gospel to the nations of the earth. Who is that? That's Jesus that Isaiah is talking about 800 years before he walked the face of this earth. And that's why Jesus says in John 9, our text, verse 39, I am come so that the blind will see. He's not talking only about this man that he had just healed. He's talking about you. And he's talking about me. So that we who were blind would be able to see, to be saved by the power of His grace. The only cure for this man and the only cure for us is the power and the glory of the Christ, the Son of God. That was His saving mission. And it emphasizes His power to heal, for He alone is God. There was no medicine in the mud. I know it says He spat in that and He told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus is not saying that there's any power in the mud or in the pool of Siloam. The power was in Jesus and in Jesus alone. It's His power to heal. And later on in the discussion with the Pharisees, who failed to focus on who Jesus was, they only could criticize what He did on the Sabbath day. They kept grinding that point as though they could find a point at which they would find fault with Jesus. Their eyes remain blind. It's this finding fault with Christ because He had opened the eyes of the blind beggar on the Sabbath day that exposed their spiritual blindness. The miracle is a miracle that attests to the glory of Christ. And that miracle continues today when people who are blind from birth in sin come to the light of the gospel and hear and believe. We're sinners from birth. We're helpless and we cannot see. There is no ability. Put yourself in this blind man's position. He could not do anything to make himself see. That's a picture of spiritual blindness. It's only when God comes by and in mercy sees our need and in grace brings His salvation to us that we, like this blind man, can say, once I was blind, now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. And unless you can say, I know, that is, I'm saved, that I've come to Christ, and I believe He is the Savior of sinners, you need the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Trust Him, believe in Him, and you too will be able to say, I was blind, but praise God, now I see. Let us pray.